grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful and unseen God, the coming of your light into our world has brightened weary hearts with peace. Call us out of darkness and empower us to proclaim the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor in Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you, that you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. You may be seated. I have a GPS in my car, so I don't have to be bothered with maps or trust my very poor sense of direction. I was driving last night, and I had mentioned this to my cousin who was here at church, and we were going to my house, and I was thinking about something else, and instead of going to my house, I turned on Nimitz the wrong direction, And he's following me. And he said, where where were you taking me? Because I didn't make, I made the swing around pretty fast. And then he said, where were you taking me? And I said, you know, it's that's that my sense of direction isn't very good. I have to, I really do rely on my GPS. But one of the things that I'd like to do is if I'm going to a new place that I've never been before, especially out of town, to a new town, I pull up the Google Maps and look at it on my computer first. So, and I love that zoom in, zoom out feature on the map. So I can zoom in and look at the house or the place that I'm going to go. And then I zoom out a little bit and I see the neighborhood where it is. And then I zoom out more and can see the town. And then I zoom out further and can see where that town is in relation to San Diego. So I have kind of a, I still use my GPS though, but I get kind of an idea about where things are using that zoom feature. And I think that's the same feature that Luke used when he was writing this gospel story. He zooms out to start the story and he gives us a historical centering for us that we can see. He names the emperor, he names the governor, we get this big scene picture. And then he starts zooming in, and we get to this insignificant little picture like this of a child born in a barn, born among animals, an unwed teenage mother, assisted only by her husband-to-be and a few shepherds who were in the neighborhood, and the animals. The contrast between the great and glorious emperors and governors and a royal census, a world census, down to this little child being born. The great and glorious down to the small and meager. I wonder, why is this birth important? Why did Luke center us, give us that contrast, first of all, and then pull us to that birth of Jesus, the birth of that baby? It's pretty crazy when you think about it. Why would anyone think that this birth matters, that it's important enough to be written about, highlighted in this, along with other important matters like governors and emperors? Luke wants to make sure that we get it. Luke wants to make sure that we don't miss the significance of this particular birth, that this day that we celebrate, that God, our creator and the ruler, the sustainer of the universe, would not only notice us, our ups and our downs, our dreams and our disappointments, our triumphs and our tragedies, but that God would also take enough care for us, that he would take on our humanity and become one of us. And that's it. That's the significance of this day, that that's what this is all about, that the immortal and all-powerful God doesn't avoid the ordinary, the finite, the mundane creatures like us, but rather God draws near. God embraces us like one long separated from the beloved. This is the incarnation. God becomes one of us, one for us, one with us. There was a story written about 50 years ago, and the story is called The Parable of the Birds. And it starts out like any good story starts out. Once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a man who looked on Christmas with a lot of humbug. He wasn't a Scrooge. He was a good and kind man. He was generous to his family. He was righteous in all of his actions with other people. But he didn't get the significance of the incarnation,
You hear too much about it in church, especially at Christmas time. So he didn't really like going to church. He was too honest to pretend that he believed in all of that. "I'm really sorry," he told his wife, who was a faithful churchgoer. "I simply cannot understand this claim that God became man. It doesn't make any sense to me." So on Christmas Eve, when the wife and children were getting ready for Christmas Eve midnight mass, he said, "I'm not going. I'll stay home, I'll wait up for you, but I'm not going to go." So the family drives off, and he sits down in the living room next to the fireplace in his nice cozy chair, picks up his book, and as he sits down, he notices that it's starting to snow. And he goes and looks out the window, and as he's looking out the window, he's noticing the beautiful snowflakes, and he says, "Well, you know, if you have to have Christmas, you might as well have a white Christmas." So that's kind of nice. Goes back and sits down, and after a little while, he hears this thump. And then seconds later, thump. He thought, "What is going on? Is that somebody throwing snowballs at my front window?" So he went to the door and he opens the door and looking for somebody throwing snowballs at his house, and that's not it at all. There's a flock of birds that got disoriented in this heavy snow, and they were hitting the front window, trying to get to someplace light and warm, and they hit the window and then they would be knocked out. And so they had a whole flock of birds on his front, in his front yard, who were injured or at least dazed. And he thought, "Oh, I can't leave these birds here. They're just going to freeze if they don't get to someplace warm. What am I going to do?" And then he remembered the shed out in the back that he thought, I'll go around. He went to the back in the house and got his boots on and put his coat on and went out to the shed and opened the door wide, turned the light on, and the birds did not go in. They wouldn't go in. And he thought, "Well, how can I lure them in? I'll get some food. That always works to lure people. So might work with birds." So he goes in the house and gets some bread and crumbles it up, and he makes a trail from where the birds are, from the shed, all the way to where the birds are. They would have nothing to do with it. They weren't following him. He thought, "Well, maybe I can just shoo them in." And so he started waving his arms and trying to shoo the birds in, and they started to fly around, and they were flying everywhere except into that warm lit shed that he had prepared for them. They were afraid of him. And he thought, "You know, I must be a terrifying, strange creature to these birds. If only I could think of some way that I could let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but that I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to get them to a place of safety. If I could just be a bird for a few minutes, then I could speak their own language and I could tell them not to be afraid. If I could be one of them, I could lead them to safety." Just then, he hears the church bells ringing out midnight. And he stops and listens to those bells that are pealing out the glad tidings of Christmas. And he got it. He knelt down right there in the snow. And he said, "Now I do understand. I understand why God became human. Why God had to do that for us." Through God's embrace of all of us and our lives, we not only learn about God, that God is love, that God will not give up on us, that there is no length or depth that God won't go to reach out to us. But we also learn something about ourselves and about the whole of creation. The truth of the incarnation tells us that we have worth, that we have dignity, that the whole creation is valued by God, that we and all of those around us are the treasured children of God. God came to dwell in ordinary human flesh, and in that way made all flesh holy. That's what it's about. That's what Christmas Day is about. Maybe you're feeling particularly blessed today. You're thankful that you've had a good year and good health. You're thankful for the love of family and friends. Well, hear this good news. God not only notices, but is also glad for your blessings. And God promises to use your blessings to share with others who are around you. Maybe you're struggling to put on a happy face, to hide the worry or the pain or the fear that you are feeling. Maybe you're grieving for a loved one who is not with you today. Well, hear this good news. God knows your struggles. God stands with you and will not let you go. Maybe you're holding both, joy and sorrow, hope and fear. Maybe you're holding those contrasts in your heart today. Hear this good news. We are, right now, like those shepherds who first heard the good news in that field. Hear this. We are met right smack in the middle of our lives. We are met by a God who loves us. We are honored by God's attention to us. We are greeted with good news, and we are sent to witness to that good news of God's most amazing love. That's what it's all about. God loves us so much that he gave us his son to be one with us, to be for us. Amen.